Into this section of West Virginia sometime all around the time of the Civil War, probably. Came from Kentucky and up through into Nicholas County and then over into on the Williams River.
Webster County.
In Webster County. And Currence Hammonds here was born on the Williams River about the year 1900, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Year of
1898. And his dad, Neil Hammonds, was a brother to Paris Hammonds. And Paris Hammonds had a bunch of kids, and they're living today around Marlinton. And in the past 5 years or so, they were the object of a study by the Library of Congress. I commend it to you if you haven't seen it. It has 41 pages of liner notes that are some of the best reading I've ever seen about this part of the country and about the people who settled here. And Sherman and Burl and Maggie and Emmy
and
Rui are all first cousins of Currence's. And they all, well, some more than others, but they're all musical people. The Hammondses are wonderful singers of songs. And I don't guess there's probably any other family in this country that sang as much as the Hammonds is.
No.
Is there?
No.
Tell the truth?
No way.
I met Currence about 14 months ago. I've spent a lot of time with him. I think he's about as much of him as I do my own father. We've been out and traveled places together, been to Charleston together and the Vandalia Festival, and we've been down to Marlinton to visit the cousins. And this class is trying to understand a little bit about the early days and about some of the old songs and how people used to, since people didn't have TV sets or couldn't go to the movie.
That's right. There wasn't nothing like that.
Well, they're kind of interested in learning what there was and what people did when they couldn't turn on the TV set.
Well, sir, they just got together and sung, played music and sung. That's what they did. They'd gather up a whole bunch. Well, it'd be maybe 15 or 20. They'd get out, have singing music.
Did they do that while they worked, too?
Huh?
Did they do that while they worked, the women, while they worked?
Oh, yes. They worked every day. Only of a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
They sang while they worked sometimes?
Sometimes you'd hear them singing in the fields. Oh, yes. I had an uncle sung all the time.
Which uncle?
Only when he was eating or sleeping. I don't care where he was at, he's singing.
Which uncle was that?
That was Bernard Baughman. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, and he could sing.
What was his favorite song?
Huh?
What was his favorite song?
Oh, just some old piece, you know. He just thinks some old piece. Maybe he'd sing one once and one another and just keep on singing. He liked that Pilgrim more than anything else you'd hear him sing.
The Pilgrim song?
The Pilgrim.
Can you sing a little of that?
No, I can't. I forgot all about it. That's been years ago. A White Pilgrim Maid. Maybe you heard the name of it.
I have.
Yeah, he used to sing that. You could hear him coming in. He'd go to walk across the hills, you know, to Webster Spring. And he could have took a horse and rode around, but he'd just walk through the mountain, take honey over there and sell it. You'd hear him come back on top of the hill that the people lived up there by the name of Coers. Well, they was on top of the hill, and he lived down in the bottom of the Gully River. I'll bet you hit us over half a mile. You could hear him top upon that hill singing them pieces. You could hear him just as plain of singing as if he'd have been right at you. You could tell when he was coming home. He topped up there singing. Had a dar run, they called it. He'd top up there and you could hear him singing. And he'd come over and he'd sing right on me coming to the house. He always did.
Did he sing that song about the mule? Old mule?
The old mule? No, that was one of my uncles. Pete. Uncle Pete. He sung that.
Sing a little of that one. I want you to sing. I'm going to keep after you till you sing.
Lord, I ain't sung any since I was with you.
That's good. I haven't sung any since I was with you.
That is, where was it? Up there at the Elkwaters.
Oh, there. We've been together since then.
Huh?
We've been together since then.
No, we haven't. Sing.
Didn't we sing when up Jerry was up the house that night? Did we sing something?
I don't remember. Maybe we did. I don't know. You fellas ain't been around so long, I forgot all about it.
You thought I'd died, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought you. I look for your jury up to go to Parsons, or to, not Parsons, but to, what's the name of it down there? Morgantown.
Oh.
And you didn't come, boy, I'd like to went to that. And I'd have went, I'd have tried to drove back, but my car, when I went, got to looking at my car here, there. Water pump wore out on it. No fan had just worked out of it. I was afraid to swim through the radiator. So I didn't. I can't sing that piece.
What, the mule?
The one stone, the finest mule?
No, the whole mule.
That's it.
Sing it. I know you can.
Said once I owned the finest mule was out. His rainbow lane, both hind legs and two of his eyes was out. He'd kick an at from off his ear, but he never would stand still. I'll have me match that old mule if it cost me a dollar bill. Whoa, muley, whoa, why don't you hear me holler? Jerking out in that mule's tail, he'll go through the collar. Why don't you put him on the tracks? Why don't you let him go? But every time he stopped that mule, it's whoa, muley, whoa. I bought that mule as an oxen sale, his rigging all combined. I put him in the stable, well, the harness fit him fine. But when you go to hook him up right then, you better look out. He'd kick and strike at both hind feet. Don't you bet that mule was stout. Whoa, muley, whoa. Why don't you hear me holler? Jerking out in that mule's tail, he'll go through the collar. Why don't you put him on the track? Why don't you let him go? It's every time you stop that mule, it's whoa, muley, whoa. I took my girl a sleigh ride in, the mule begin to buck. He threw her out on the street and soiled her Sunday frock. The girl she swore should have abandoned stooped to pick a brick. That mule let loose with both hind feet. Don't you bet that girl was sick.
Whoa,
muley, whoa. Why don't you hear me holler? Jerk a knot in that mule's tail, he'll go through the collar. Why don't you put him on the tracks? Why don't you let him go? But every time you stop that mule, it's whoa, muley, whoa. I hooked him to a streetcar and drove him through the square. He jumped again the bridle bits and things began to tear. You ought to saw the people getting around, they're walking around so slow. But everybody in that town said, whoa, muley, whoa. He's a mule.
Reminds me of old man Hillary's team of horses.
Yeah, just like him. Only this, they wouldn't kick you, but they'd run off. That mule would kick, you see. Yeah, it was poor Pete Hammond's song. He'd get about, he'd get to drinking, you know. He'd sit and sing that. He'd play it on the fiddle. Same. Oh yeah, he could play the old Pete.
He liked to fight pretty good too, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh yes, he thought that, but that was his hobby of fighting. He'd raise a fight just right out on the street, in the road. Yes, he would just for... And he couldn't fight a bit more than some little kid. I never seen him in my life. He had a fight without he got whooped. He couldn't.
But he loved to do it anyway.
He'd fight anything. I don't care if it was as big as the side of a house, he'd fight it. And he'd only talk one word, and he didn't argue. No, he wouldn't argue a bit with you. And you didn't know when he was going to fight, he'd be standing laughing at you. First thing you know, he'd hit you, but he couldn't hit hard enough to hurt you.
What was that time you told me about? Some of them come there to the house. Was it election day?
Yeah.
You were just a kid.
Mm-hmm. I was just a small boy.
Was it on the Williams River?
Lived right on the Williams River.
Up at Mill Branch.
Mill Branch, right at the mouth of the Mill Branch. Yeah, there was Pete, Uncle Parrish, Grandpap, Eden, my daddy was all there. Oh, there's a big bunch there. They come from Lexington. My uncle Jess, he was there too, Jess Roberts, and old Bill Fay, and that old Rose, old man Rose, he was there. Bill Mahaffey, the yards was full, and all of them were drinking. It didn't last long. There's a fight and just and Norman Cole was there picking the banjo. He'd sit down and sitting on a chair picking the banjo. There's that dancing, this whole hoedown dance, you know, all of them. On a big porch. We had a big porch, you know, and they had it crowded full. But the porch was built clear along the house, but it was built out wide enough. Oh, it was big wide. You know, them days, they'd put the floor down and they'd set post. Just take poplar poles, what they made the post out of. Just cut them, set them up there, and then peel them, fix them. They look good under a porch, you know.
Well, how did it start?
Huh?
Did Pete get it started?
Pete got it started with Bill Mahaffey. Oh yeah, he jumped on old Bill Mahaffey and he hit him twice, right in the head with a pair of steel knucks, and he never even skinned his head and he never knocked him down. That's a fact. Now, you think I'm a kidding you, but that's the truth. And at that time, this Abe Cobb, he was there. He raised up, took a hold of Bill Mahaffey, you know, to take him away from Pete. Pete was just pounding him to death. Well, they had my daddy and Uncle Parrish and Grandpap. They had them out off of the porch in the yard. Old Bill Fay and Andy Rose was getting into a racket. And they was out there going to fight. Well, Uncle Parrish, he come back in on the porch for something, but somebody had tucked their coat off, you know, they had nails on the post to hang their coat and hats on them, you know, all that. He come back in there, of course, it was dark, just had old oil lights, you know, you couldn't see. He stepped back in there, standing right by this post. And he didn't see nobody bothering him, nothing. He just looked over and that coat and hat was hanging on that post. Uncle Parrish did. He just drove back and cut bang, he tucked that post. And down went the post, coat, hat, and all. Fell right out in the yard. And he stood and looked at it. He said, if I ain't killed him, I'll be dead. Finally, they got them apart. They got them separated. Oh, boy. But old, I was going to tell you this, Norm Cogar, he is picking the band. And there was a dancing. But when they got into the fight, he just kept on picking the band. He didn't pay no mind to. Some of them staggered back where he was at, you know, and kind of fell again his banjo. Man, I'll tell you, he let him have it. He went the other way, too, when he hit him. He didn't stop. He just picked up his banjo and went on to playing the banjo.
All of them fighting on the yard?
Them a fighting. He didn't, man.
Where were you?
I was in the house. And then my brother, the kids, they was... Oh, a whole bunch of us there. Nine went out home, all but one. One was dead. Eight of us there. Oh, my dad, he wouldn't let us get out with us drinking like that. No, sir. When he said stay in the house, that's where we stayed.
You didn't always do what your dad said, though, did you?
Huh?
You didn't always do what your dad said.
No, not after I grew up. I did before I grew up.
Wasn't there a... What was the time that you heard the dog go?
Oh, well,
over
he was
on
gone.
The Black Mountain.
He was gone.
You heard him go, though.
I know my mother. He, I didn't pay no mind to him. Now he was working up for his dad when the old dog got back up there barking. I kept it. My mother let me take the gun to him. Now she said, "You're not a taking your dad's gun." He had a 25-20. Winchester worked the guards, you know. I said, "Now I'm going for a dog." She said, "Now you're not taking his gun." She went in the kitchen for something, but the old gun laid, and you know how they had gun racks where they laid them up in, you know. Well, he always kept the gun full of shells. Oh, yes, they never unloaded their gun. They kept it full all the time. I just grabbed the gun, and the shells was laying in a box on the side of the door, and I just picked them out. Went down to the river and got in the boat and crossed the river. I was big enough to cross the river. Well, I know that after I got across the river, she couldn't get to me. But she couldn't cross the river.
You had the boat?
I had the boat. And the water must have been 14 feet deep right where I went across the deadlock. I took the hill and went on to my dog. He had this bear. Well, I didn't know when I got in sight of it what to do. I'm not dumb about things like that. I'd never been out hunting or nothing.
How old were you?
Huh? How old? I was about 11, 12 years old. No, I just crowded on up. But the old bear come out of the tree when it saw me. The dog got it and backed it up in again an old big birch tree. I remember exactly what he was at. And he was just right up there standing on the sitting there, you know, fighting the dog, knocking at him. The dog would jump in, he'd knock. And I thought, well, I'll kill you. Kabang, I took it. Boy, when I shot it, now, it did get mad. It'd come out of there fast. And oh, its teeth was a-cracking just like you're springing a steel trap. Every time I get a chance, kabang, I'd take it. And I shot that thing, I don't know how many shots. Finally, I hit, fell over. I walked on up to it and looked at it. I couldn't even move it. Lord have mercy, no, I wasn't able to. I got the old dog and took her off down over the hill to the boat, or across, wasn't very far. Got in the boat, come on across. I'd shot about all the shells out of the gun, I knew that. But when I got across, I tucked the old gun. He had a rod where he wiped it with him in grease. I wiped the gun out, took some grease and put it in, greased her up, and laid it back up in the rack. I knew when he'd come home, I'd get her. There was no question to it. But when he'd come home, I eased out of the house and went out of the house to cut wood. And he said to my mother, he said, "What's the matter with him?" And he never did do that before. Oh, she said, "He just out there cutting wood. Now there's something," he said. He come out, I'll chop him wood. He said, "You got plenty of wood there. What are you cutting wood for?" "Oh, if it might accidentally turn cold and go to snow or something." Rain.
It was July.
Yeah, I wanted to get away from it. I said to him, "I believe I'll go up to my uncle's tonight. That is Uncle Parrish's." He said, "No, you can't go up there tonight." And he said, "Dud, I knew to just stay at home." I figured, "Hey, you'll get me in the house and something like that." But he come in the house, we went in the house, but he happened to notice up at his gun. And he'd run the lane just like he laid it. Now he'd know just exactly when you took that gun out of the rack. Don't think he didn't. He looked up the gun, he said, "Who's had my gun?" To Maul. Well, Maul wouldn't lie to him. She said, "Well, I'll tell you who had it. But I don't want to see you beating the kid for it." Said, "He had it." He said, "What'd you have my gun for?" I said, "The dogs had a bear treed up there, and I went up to kill it." He said, "I told you to never bother that gun. It was loaded and shells in the magazine." "I know what I said. That's the way I want it." He said, "You killed the bear?" I said, "Yeah, I killed it." "How many shoots you shoot?" "I don't know," I said, "5 or 6. "I'm not a hitting it." I said, "I think I was hitting it every shot." "I know you wasn't," he said. Well, he talked on a little bit, but that time it was getting dark. He said, "Where was it?" I told him right where it was. He knowed exactly where it was, what they call the Turkey Gap. I said, "It's right under the hill, right at the top of the hill in the Turkey Gap." He said, you go up there and tell your uncle, that is Parrish, to come down and we'll get Grandpap, we'll go get him." I said, "All right." And we took some old lanterns. I knowed he'd whoop me yet. I just sure as the world he'd give me a lift. We went on up in his lane there, you know, and I'm dogged if I don't tell you it's a big one. Uncle Parrish looked at it. "God darn," Uncle Parrish said, "if you hadn't brought that thar axe with you, chopped it up to carry it. You can't carry it that away." I said, "I told you it was a big one." But they went to work, got it all gutted out, and we got some ropes on it and just pulled it straight off of the hill to the river. Then brought the boat up there and got it in the boat, brought it on the bath. I'll bet you, Mike, that bear right on his ribs was that thick a fact. Just looked like the middlings of a hog. But I'd hit that thing every shot, and that 25 was just going through, just barely, maybe just to the bone, the ribs, and that bullet had stopped it. But the one that killed it, I took it right in that side, ranging forward, and went to its heart. But he never did whoop me. So, well, I just, boy, he wanted me to go with him hunting. I said, "Yeah, I want to go with you. There's snow on." Away we went. Of course, now, we didn't have no heavy clothes like they wear these days. You just had anything about you could wear. Got up there and got after some deer. Well, they was 5 or 6 of the deer, but we'd tracked them right up where they was, and he went shooting them. He'd first get down on his knees and shoot, and then he'd stand up and shoot. They was 5 of them. Out of the 5, he killed 4. I mean to tell you, he was pouring it on. Said to me, he said, could you have done that? I said, no, I don't think I could.
That was the right thing to say.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think I could. We come on in home, me and him went to turkey hunting. And I said, that we heard the turkeys a call, and he said, now I'm going to call you up a turkey. I'm giving you the gun. He said, I want to see if you can kill it. Now he said, you don't shoot till I tell you to. We sit down, sitting there, and he called it. We seen the turkey coming. Oh, my Lord. Now, these days, I'd have been a-shooting. He just sat there. He said, now just sit still. He'd walked up about 30 steps. He said, now kill it. He said, shoot it. He's in the gobble. He said, shoot right at its beard. And that's right where I held bang, knocked the gun down. It was. I just cut the side of the bullet right out of the beard. He said, where'd you learn to shoot at? I said, my uncle learned. He did. Ed, and that was my uncle. Oh, he'd get me there and load down a whole rifle, and we'd shoot for two or three hours.
You learned a lot from Ed, didn't you?
Oh, boy. I'm telling you, that old Ed, he'd follow right around after me, and he'd learn me everything he could. We'd go to shooting matches. I'd shoot his gun. But he just seemed like he took a liking to me. Just following around there.
Took you to raise, didn't he?
Yeah. Uncle Parrish, he never took a liking to nobody. No, sir, he was a still turn old fella. But now I'll tell you, he was a man. There was no question to that. He wasn't such a tall fella, but he was man. What they was of him was all man. Why, he could take any of his brothers and just take them with one hand, just stand about there and hold them, and they couldn't move. Now, that's a fact. But now, when he hit old Bill Mahaffey that night after he hit that pole. Now, Bill Mahaffey knowed somebody hit him that night. They took old Paris off. I swear, I've seen him fight till the blood would just be run like it'd stick a hog.
Did you fight much?
Huh?
Did you like to fight much?
No, not very much.
You like me?
Yeah. Now I'm men of half pick or run.
Run. I've never seen one yet I couldn't talk my way out of.
I've seen a lot of them you couldn't. Now, I've seen some you could. Most of them didn't want you to talk.
Ed wasn't much of a fighter, though.
No.
He was a fiddle player.
Yeah.
Did he ever have much trouble with anybody?
Oh, he never. I never knowed him to have much trouble on his one feller. That was a feller by the name of Harris. He should have killed him. And he thought he did. He did. He thought he killed him.
What happened?
This Harris, you know, would get drunk. Well, Edden lived up above old West Carpenter's on Little Ford. Well, old Harris got drunk, and he come up there, you know, and Edden run at home. And he drove a grab in the corner of his house. Edden lived in a log house. Picked up an old grab and drove it in there and told Betty, that is Edden's wife, that I'm going back after the team, going to pull this house down. Betty said, no, don't do it. Grover was his name, Grover Harris. Said, there ain't nobody here but me and the little kid. She had two kids. He said, you better get out of the house, or I'm going to come and get the team pulled down. Well, while he was going off after the team, it happened, Edden come back home. And she told Edden, showed him the grass. Now, Edden said, let me tell you, fellas, you all stay in the house. If he comes here with the team, he said, I'll pull the house down. And he just walked out the yard. There's a fence went around his yard, you know. But when he went out there, he picked up a couple of rocks. Well, big as your fist, you know. Aunt Betty said to him, said, Edden, now don't you go to hitting that fellow the rock. Now, he said, you stay in the house. looked down the road and seen West, seen old Grover coming, the teams. Spreaders and everything, he was going to pull her down. He come to the gate, big gate, started opening the gate. Ed and said, what are you going to do, Grover? Said, I'll show you that house will be a lane right here, every log of it. Now Ed and said, don't open that gate. But he said, you'll be a lane there. Now my honor, he said, I'll kill you. And Grover just went to open the gate, and he took him right and headed on them rocks, and down he went. He thought he killed him. He just stood, went out and stood and looked at him a little bit. And he said to his wife, he said, well, get the kids ready. Let's go. She said, Deed, I ain't going tonight. It's dark. Well, he said, I'm a going. He said, if anybody comes after me, tell them you done where I went to. They said, I ain't going to tell you where I'm going to. But he come on up to the old man, so we lay there in Pocahontas County, 12 miles from where he lived. He walked clear up there that night, come in. Old man, when we got up, was in bed long, must have been 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when he got there. The old man said to him, he said, what's the matter, Eddie? Oh, Eden said nothing. Now the old man said, I know there is. Said, I never seen you look like that. He's just pale as he can be. I could just remember that as well. And he said, I'll tell you. He said, I killed a man tonight this evening. Daddy said, you did? Yes. How come you to kill him? Well, he said, he had a grab group in my house and I come home was going to pull it down. Come up with a team and went to open the gate to come in to pull it down. He said, I hit him with a rock right in the head. And he said, if I'd have had my gun, I'd have shot him. The old man said, well, maybe it didn't kill him. Yes, it killed him. He said, I walked out and looked at him. He was laying there and the blood was just pouring. But Dan'l, one of Wes's boys, yes, Dan'l, I believe he was, come up there. And he hollered at Eden, told him, he said, now, Eden, don't hit me. I ain't going to body. And Eden said, well, you get that team and get it away from here. That's before he left. So he took the team, took it back down to the house, and just left Grover Lane. And they come up with a sled, took the team on the sled and drug it up there, loaded old Grover on, took it down to the house, took him to the house, took him on the count to the doctor. They put him, kept him there a day or two. Oh, he was about three, I think it was two or three days. They didn't know whether he was alive or not. Said all the way till he's alive was put a glass over his mouth, and he said when he breathed, he'd have swept that glass. Said that's all the way they know. But they wouldn't have hurt Ed anyway. So I'm going to pull a man's house down. You'd fight over your house, now that'd be sure. Yeah, I just, well, I had big enough then to run around everything. Yes, they used to have pretty good times in this old time. But them days are better than this now.
What?
Well, absolutely. You could take a dollar and buy more with a dollar then than you can with 25 now. You could buy a sack of flour for about 35 cents a sack, 25 pound sack, coffee 10, 11 cents a pound, meat 6 and 7 cents a pound, sugar 5 cents a pound. Why, I'm telling you, it was better than doing that. Of course, the people raised it then.
I guess they had better music then, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They had the old time music. I don't know if it's any better, but I liked it better. And any place you went, it didn't make no difference whose house you went to. There's somebody there, two or three of them that can play the music anytime. Fiddles, banjos. But now guitars were something that never was saw for a whole lot of great big boys. That's for almost an every eye sold down here at Mill Creek. That's right. It's the old, I'll tell you his name in a little while. He had the mill up there. Bell, Ern Bell, that was the first guitar ever I saw.
Was that a store-bought one?
Huh?
Was it a store-bought one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or a homemade one?
No, it was store-bought one. That's the first one I saw. I'd seen these Dulcimer, you know, my grandpap made them.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they had one.
Jess did?
Huh?
Your grandpap Jess did?
No, that was...
On the other side?
That was on my mother's side. He made them. They had a Dulcimer there at his place, and the house burned. The first thing he ever made in his life.
Was it the lap Dulcimer?
No, it was just the long one, you know, with a neck on it, something like a band, your four strings, all it had on it. It had a head on it, the head run along, you know.
Did he play the Dulcimer with Eden?
Eden.
Did he play with Eden sometimes?
Sometimes they would. Oh, yes, Eden would take the violin over there, and they'd play the Dulcimer and violin.
Boy, I bet that was something to hear.
Indeed it was, and then my first cousin, she was there, she played the banjo. And my uncle lived right above him, he played the fiddle. Oh, my Lord, you just... They'd get there and get four or five of them string banjos and fiddles and stuff like that. Uncle Bernard played the organ with him. He could sit and play the organ. They'd play it on. They'd all get around that old organ. Grandma all of some. Yes,
Grandma
Baldwin. Oh, she could sing.
Did you learn most of your songs from her?
Huh?
Did you learn most of
I learned the most of my songs from her and my uncle. That's what I learned about almost. That's almost what I learned. All my uncles could sing, all but one. I had one couldn't sing.
Who was that?
That was Uncle John. He never could sing. He was a brother to Bernard, Uncle Chris, Uncle Kearns, and all of them had him. They could all sing.
Was Eden a good singer?
Huh?
Was Eden a good singer?
Eden, not very much. He sung some, but he didn't sing very much.
Is that Bright and Sunshiny Morning? Is that the one?
Yeah, he sung that.
Sing that. Sing that for this bunch. I know they'd like to hear it. I'll sing it with you.
I don't know it all.
Well, sing what you know.
I forgot it. Wake up, wake up, you drowsy sleeper. Wake up, wake up, it's almost day. For many a bright and a sunshiny morning may be a dark and a gloomy day. Well, I wish to my Lord that I never had saw you or in my cradle I'd die. I'm going away to some far city. I'm going there for to live and die. For many a bright and a sunshiny morning maybe a dark and a gloomy day. Oh, why can't young men and women to be so kind and heartless ways? I wish them, Lord, that I never had a saw you or in my cradle I'd die. I don't know any more of it now today. Oh, it's a long song.
Well, I just got another verse I've never heard before.
What's that?
About going to the city to live.
Going to the city to live and die? Yeah. I thought of that the other night.
I knew if I got you to sing it again, you might come up with another verse.
I'm going to leave, go to the city that 11 died.
And Eden would sing that.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd sing it. He'd get out someplace to himself. Here I am to sing it. He used to sing it another, but I can't think of what it was. He used to sing that. He played it on the fiddle. After he played on the fiddle, then he'd sing it.
There goes Love Nancy, she is my fancy, she gave to me a chain of gold, much gold she carried, and while she tarried, she fell in love with a pretty fair he kissed and called him and then exported while in her arms he did he fall. There is Love Nancy, she is my fancy, she gave to me a chain of gold.
What's the rest of it? I think it's just part of a song. We can't get it all yet.
Nah, that's a pretty, don't need any more of that.
Then Eden used to sing that. Oh, who is that at my window knocking? That knocks so loud and won't come in. It's nothing wrong. Your old true lover, arise and rise and let him in. Oh, Molly dear, you love my lady, it's Molly's time for to bother you. I sail the ocean from old Kentucky, I sail the ocean for your sake. Now, Molly dear, go ask your father if my sweet bride there ever be. If he says no, run back and tell me. If he says yes, we'll run away. Oh, no, I can't go and ask my father, for he lie down on his bed rest. In his right hand he holds a dagger to kill the one that I love best. Oh, Molly dear, go ask your mother if my sweet bride there ever be. If she says yes, come back and tell me. If she says no, we'll run away. Oh, I cannot go and ask my mother, for she lie down on her bed rest. In her right hand she holds that letter that reads to her more than tongues can express. Oh, Molly dear, forsake father and mother and go along with me. I cannot say both father and mother and go along with you. I'll stay at home and rest contented and let all of their folks sing pace by. Oh, Molly dear, you love my lady, it's my last time for to bother you. I'll go back home and rest camp.